Now, I wonder how you would feel about investing your hard-earned wage into land. And not just any land, land that you're never going to be able to build a house on or use for agriculture or do whatever it is that you do with your land. As you probably know, the Tasmanian Land Conservancy has been buying up land for the past few decades to protect it and its inhabitants from industry. Now a not-for-profit organisation from Finland have bought some of the land from them. How does this work? What does it mean? We've got James Hattam from the TLC with us, along with Jeanette Cheney from the Helsinki Foundation, who's just bought some land in Tassie. Welcome, guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us. Super excited.
Now, James, we might actually start with you for a bit of an overview of what the TLC does. So I didn't realise that all the land that you buy doesn't actually stay with the Land Conservancy.
No, so I guess we have a few different mechanisms. So our number one mechanism is where we purchase land and manage it for conservation in our own reserves, mm-hmm. but we realise that we can't buy all the land and manage it ourselves. So the concept of a revolving fund, so this is the process where we buy land, protect it with a conservation covenant on title, and then sell that land on to like-minded individuals. We then use that money to purchase more land, and so the cycle goes on and on. So it's a great way for us to connect people to land, for them to feel that they're contributing to nature conservation, and for us to protect more land across Tasmania.
Tell me about the conservation covenant, because it just, you know, it would kind of worry me that maybe I would bequeath it to somebody who really loved cement. You know what I mean?
And, yeah.
How do you, by accident, you know, rebelling against this generation. Tell me, what is this covenant and how does it apply to future generations?
So it's a very common thought out there. So the covenant isn't a scary thing. The covenant is something that it's a legal mechanism that sits on the title of the property. It's established under the Nature Conservation Act. So it's a state government enforced piece of legal framework.
Mm-hmm.
But the covenant in itself essentially prioritises the management of that land. So it highlights all the special values that are on that land,
uh-huh.
and it informs the landholder what's really critical, you know, where you can go, what you shouldn't do in particular places. In some instances, it allows for houses to be built, so people live on the properties, they manage them. And it's a working plan, and it connects you to a whole range of landholders around the state. There's over 800 conservation covenants in Tasmania, around 500 landholders. So it connects you in a group of landholders that are very committed, mm-hmm. to the long-term conservation of nature conservation in Tasmania.
So does that mean, I mean, is that a legally binding agreement?
It is a legally binding agreement. So that's why when we purchase the land, we put the covenant on the title, and then when we sell the land, mm-hmm. To a like-minded individual, that covenant stays there.
Right.
Yep.
What happens if it does get, like, you know how you always think of generations after, like, I have a friend who is like a massive, massive hippie, and her son is just this little neocon. He's an 8-year-old neocon that wonders why, you know, why people are busking and why people are homeless and what have they done to deserve, you know, all this kind of stuff. So what happens for somebody like that friend who buys the land, leaves it to her son, and her son's like, I'm going to build a big bloody block of flats here. What's to stop him doing that?
Well, there's a whole range of things to stop into, uh-huh. it. There's a whole there's a compliance mechanism there, so people come and check that you're not doing the wrong thing as part of the covenant.
Right.
But you know, if he's 8 years old and he's not into it now, who knows? I'm Gen Y, and I have had a very different view of the world. You know, when I was 8 years old, so we can put our faith in as people grow, they learn and they can appreciate the different things in life. So we always encourage our people purchasing the lands to talk to their families, to talk about what their wishes are,
mm-hmm.
to talk about what's in the covenant. Don't be scared about it. You know, it's not a scary thing. It's actually a really empowering thing and connects people to something that, yeah, often is scary, but it definitely isn't at all.
Do you get a lot of people taking this up, you know, this option of buying the land back from you and committing to conserve it?
Yeah. It's been heavily, really, really successful. So the revolving fund has been going for a little bit over 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's protected over 5,000 hectares of land.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact number of landholders, but it's such a diverse range of landholders. You know, you often think that it might just be your tree change retiree types.
Yeah.
But it's actually not at all. You know, we've got young families, we've got single people, we've got older people that are retiring.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got people from interstate that want to come to Tasmania and share these amazing places with their friends and their family, and they go camping, to people that just have their shacks on them. So
yeah.
It's a whole range of landholders, and now with the guys from Helsinki, you know, it's even broadening that reach even further.
Well, let's bring you in now, Jeanette Cheney. You're an adventurer, you're a travel blogger.
I certainly am.
How did you become involved with the Helsinki Foundation? What is it?
So the Helsinki Foundation I've been a part of since the start, being friends with the founder over there. So I was really just kind of interested in the different and unique way of looking at land conservation and making sure that it was affordable for everyone. You know, I'm not that old. I can't afford to buy my own block from the TLC as much as I'd love to. Mm-hmm. But the Helsinki Foundation gave me a way that I could conserve a piece of land with my green space guardianship at an affordable price point.
Right. And so how big a piece of land are we talking?
It really depends on how much you want to invest. Mm-hmm. For example, I'm a guardian up in Lapland, and I think I've got about 20 square metres.
Right. Wow, in Lapland.
In Lapland, in beautiful Lapland. So should I ever decide to brave the cold up there, I can put on the ski pants and the beanie and go up and camp in a hammock out there. I choose to.
And your piece of land in Lapland, like what is it conserving? Like what is it kind of... I mean, do each of these lands have some sort of focus, you know, an animal or something like that that's being preserved?
Yeah, every area, look at going in to purchase a plot, we look at what's happening in the area, if there's any endangered species, and we really communicate with the local community, either through a fund like the TLC or if we've got someone who puts their hand up and sends us an email and says, hey, you know, there's this magical fairy here, can you go and protect that? We go, well, is this an actual real thing?
Yep.
Is this something that will benefit the community now and for future generations? So up in Lapland, it's the forest itself that we really wanted to conserve. Mm-hmm.
And so you've now bought a piece of land in Tasmania.
Yes, I certainly have bought myself a green space guardianship.
So tell me about it. Where is it?
So it's up in Swanston, which is about a 2.5 to 3 hour drive. I feel like I should know as I've just been up there today and back. It's been super fun. So it's right up in the mountains. It's just a stunning piece of land. It's just beautiful. It's green. It's just so quiet and tranquil. You know, walking around, you can just hear the birds. And as you're sort of stumbling across the rocks and that, you can see evidence of all the animals, the marsupials that are there, little scratchings and bits where they've been nibbling on the trees and whatnot.
Yeah. So what does it mean that you can go to that land whenever you want? You can go camp there?
We certainly can. Mm-hmm. There's very few restrictions on what you can and can't do. It all needs to be under the legal guidance of the covenant of the land. So for instance, in both Lapland and here in Tasmania, should I decide to go hike out there, I'm more than welcome to go and camp on my spot.
Right.
And the really great thing about the way that the Helsinki Foundation does it is that we've got this really unique bespoke digital mapping that goes out. So you actually, when you purchase your green space guardianship, you get a GPS coordinates. Mm-hmm. So if you're really into the hiking and adventure stuff, you can find exactly where your plot is.
And have you pinpoint. Have you been to your Lapland plot?
Not to the Lapland one yet. Yep. As both times I've been over in Finland, it's been the middle of winter and I haven't wanted to leave the house.
I can imagine. We've got Malcolm on the line who's called in. Malcolm, hello.
How are you?
Well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. Are you somebody who's got land with the Land Conservancy?
No, not with them, but I've been inquiring about it for several years.
Yep.
And there's just a couple of things I'd like cleared up that I can't seem to get an answer to.
Well, I'm not sure if we're going to be able to do that, but we'll give it a try, James.
Sure. Yeah, what happens to the land tax?
So if it's not your primary residence, currently, as I understand it, you are exempt from land tax if you have a conservation covenant over the title?
Totally exempt.
It's based on, I think it's based on how much of the land is actually covenanted. So based on the title, if it's 90% of the land that's covenanted, you get that. From what I understand, that's the percentage that's reduced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's two huts on it, but the rest of it, there's a few hundred acres.
On the bit that you're looking at?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Malcolm, was there another question you had?
Yeah, and if carbon credits can be traded at some later date, who would own these carbon credits, the landowner, or does it belong to the Conservancy?
It's a really tricky one, the whole carbon market. So the TLC has a carbon project currently at the moment, and that carbon project goes across about 30,000 hectares. So often when we talk about carbon, for a project to get up and enter into any markets, it needs to be at such a large scale. So we get issued our carbon credits every 2 years, and then we can trade those credits. So we own the credits, and then we sell them to a third party.
Yeah, so on the block that I'm talking about, our block, for instance, we wouldn't be able to trade these credits.
Well, you don't know, do you?
No, it depends. You have to go through a whole process for the credits to be verified and a big, long project. And our carbon project took about 2.5 years to get up.
Yeah, we've been waiting for the best part of 4 years now for an answer.
Yeah, okay.
From your mob, and we just don't seem to be able to get a clear and divisive answer.
You better get on the phone again tomorrow, Malcolm. Well, how about we get your details and we'll pass them on to James?
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much. Bye-bye. Just hold on the line, please. Lucy, would you mind? And we'll pass them to you, James, when you're on your way. So let's get back to Helsinki Foundation buying some of this land from the Tasmanian Land Conservancy. Sorry. How does it work in terms of, like, is this a foreign ownership situation?
So I guess, yeah, so the land was sold and purchased by the foundation themselves,
Right. Yeah. So is the Helsinki Foundation planning on buying much more land from the TLC?
If we can find land that is ecologically significant and matches the values of the Helsinki Foundation, we'd certainly be interested in purchasing more land. But as we're just about to release the Green Space Guardianships on April the 6th, Australian time, we do need to see how they go sales-wise, as the funds used made from that sale will go into purchasing the next block of land.
Right. And so what is the block of land that you've purchased for here, what kind of ecological importance has it got?
So it's got some amazing, really rare endangered species. So there's the Tasmanian wedge-tailed eagle. There's three nests that are approximately about 500 to 750 metres away from the block of land that we've bought. There's also the Bennett wallabies, the swift parrot. And we were just investigating today, trying to see, you know, what other animals were around.
Yeah.
So hopefully when we come back in, I'll be back here in May, and our founders will be back here later in the year when it's a little bit warmer, is we'll work with the TLC to put some cameras up and to sort of really get a great overview about what animals are there, you know, what sort of breeding patterns we've got going on. And that way we can inform our guardians and make plans for the future.
Have you got some photos you can share with us now?
I certainly do.
Great. That's great. We'll whack those on our website. Now, just finally, I guess, James, what does a partnership like this mean for the TLC?
Well, I guess for the TLC, one of our core values is involving people in all that we do. So this is a great way where we can partner with the Helsinki Foundation, and they can take the message of private land conservation in Tasmania all the way, you know, across the world. And so in Tasmania, we're incredibly lucky and fortunate to have so many incredible, unique species here. And private land plays an incredible role in making sure that these places are protected, these species are protected. So I think for us, it's a really powerful way that we can showcase Tasmania. And our vision is for Tasmania to be a global leader in nature conservation. And I think this is a little step in that path.